Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week. And as we get older, usually every single day, every people say they get they're happy to be here. And I'm so thrilled. Today, we're going to just talk 2 minutes about real estate, and then we're going to get into a very, very dear subject to many, many people's hearts, taking care of veterans. And I don't know where right now we're just starting off the beginning of the year. We have our new president coming in on Friday, and I think a lot's changing around the world. Hopefully a lot is going to go for the better, and a lot of people are getting involved. And veterans are still serving our country and taking care of our country and keeping us safe. And today, people are concerned about the markets. And I'm just going to mention a little bit about the real estate market, and not much. Is the rates are inching up in the U.S., and, of course, we now our money's tied into global markets. So even though the rates are coming up a little bit, it's still a great time to buy. Don't let yourself get frozen and say, hey, we're not going to do this. We don't want to, you know, bother with this. And many of our listeners are agents and brokers, and you guys know, depending on where you are, we have different markets. In Hawaii, Oahu seems to constantly stay busy, and some outer islands have ups and downs, but it's still such a great market. On the mainland, it depends on where you are, and we've had a pretty good market in most places for the last couple years, and there's some pockets that are still struggling. But if your clients and if you're a buyer or seller, the big thing to keep in mind is, what is your dream? What are you accomplishing? You know, when I got in 1985, we were just coming out of, I mean, rates had been as high as 18%, 14%, and then in 85 they started coming down. And we used to think anything below 10 was a dream. And 9.5, for many years, was just a dream. And now people say, oh, my gosh, it's gone up to 4.5%. It's going up too high, or 5%. And you really want to look at your life and don't let yourself get stopped. It is a good time to buy if that difference is going to make a difference between you qualifying or not qualifying, because, of course, you can buy more. But I just want to put that out there, because we're really going to we have a wonderful guest on today, and I want to really dig into that more, but we know that just always think about what you're going to do and what your dreams are, and don't let things just stop you because of, you know, the interest rate or this or that, because we can always have many reasons for things to stop us. So my heart, as you all know, is people and reaching out to many, many people. And today we're going to talk about we have a guest coming on, and Captain Keith Lambert had a vision. He is building the City of Refuge, which is veterans taking care of veterans. This will be on Maui. He knows firsthand what it is like to go through the pain facing many veterans, isolation, chronic pain, chronic depression, chronic addiction, and addiction, which many times is an after effect from trying to treat and just alleviate the pain. And, oh, so many people can relate to this. His father, Captain Donald Red Lambert, served this country and in retirement was 100% disabled, a U.S. Marine Corps veteran, dealing with the Veterans Administration was very frustrating. And that is when Captain Keith Lambert came up with the idea for the City of Refuge. he knew there was a better way to take care of the men and women who served and still serve this country so proudly. And without further ado, I'd like to welcome Captain Keith Lambert.
Aloha, Natalie. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming on. I'm so excited.
I am too.
What you're doing is just so needed, and so needed. And tell us a little bit about how you got started. What happened? And I was just mentioning your dad, but your background.
Yeah, it all started with my father. My father found out that he had cancerous tumors on his kidney and went in for an operation. And instead of removing the tumors, they took the whole kidney. And when he came home, I was faced with the realization that my mother, who was also 80 at the time, couldn't take care of him. And so I left my job and started taking care of him full time. And when I did, I realized dealing with the VA, you know, I became so frustrated just because of all the bureaucracy. I had a vision to create a place, you know, that could do a better job of taking care of veterans. And the City of Refuge was this vision that I came up with.
I love it. It says it's going to be a special place of healing for American veterans.
That's correct, yes. I want to create a holistic healing center. So instead of pumping our veterans full of prescription drugs, you know, antidepressants, antipsychotics, pain medications, whatnot, we want to let the veterans decompress, detoxify, and begin the healing process. So we're trying to steer veterans away from all these prescription drugs that the VA is pumping on them.
It's a spiral going down, a downward spiral, right? When they start taking the drugs for pain and
Of course. Well, they're taking a lot of these guys, you know, a good 20% of them have PTSD and other combat related illnesses, and you know, they go in for treatment, and the first thing that the doctors do is they prescribe them these medications. And many of these veterans are taking well over 10, 12, sometimes 15 medications a day. And all these medications have side effects. And unfortunately, these side effects can be deadly. And, like you said, it starts a downward spiral of depression and self-loathing that's hard, if not impossible, to recover from. And so what we want to do is we want to give veterans – oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
Oh, we want to give, you know, veterans an alternative to that. You know, a lot of these treatments that we propose, anti-anxiety management, acupuncture, Chinese herbs and medicines, chiropractic care, chronic pain management, detoxification, hypnotherapy, therapeutic massages, meditation, nutritional information and planning, physical therapy, spiritual counseling, and, of course, therapeutic baths. So we want to create this holistic healing center that helps these veterans basically get off the medications that they're on and give them a step up in the healing process.
And how long would they? How long do they? Do you anticipate they'll be at the centers? Pretty much.
Well, what we hope to do is we first hope to open it for veterans on Maui, and then we'll expand it to veterans in the state of Hawaii. And then once we have that up and running, then we can accept veterans from the mainland. So it'll be in a three-phase program.
Wow. So if somebody comes, when somebody comes there, can they, when they come there, are they going to be able to stay a month, 2 months, 6 months, or does it just depend on what their situation is?
Well, the veterans that live here on the island, they'll be able to come and use the center on a daily basis. You know, they can come in and it'll strictly be outpatient service. But for other people that live off island or from the mainland, they would be inpatient. And first what they do is they get screened by our medical evaluator, and we'll find out what, what they're suffering from. Well, you know, they have physical limitations, you know, some psychiatric limitations, you know, something, you know, they need counseling, find out what medications they're on, and see where they are, and basically give them a chance to, you know, first decompress, you know, give them a place that's clean, comfortable, and, you know, away from all the everyday stresses that we all face.
And what a great place on Maui to do that with, out in the tropical setting and good weather.
Exactly. Hawaii is the perfect place.
Absolutely. It's. I see you have a few people. They're actually, you've got quite a lot of support in with the doctors and also medicinal. What is it? Medicinal center right there, or actually herbs grown right on Maui that also are part of this?
Yes, it's going to be a natural, not only a holistic healing center, but a medicinal herb farm and organic farm. So we'll be able to grow a lot of our medicines that we're going to be using, and also some of the food that we'll be consuming. And this will also give veterans an opportunity for, you know, work therapy. It's rather peaceful and, you know, comforting to garden. And, you know, a lot of people take that up as a therapy for PTSD. And so we'll also offer that there.
That's fantastic. What are they say approximately 22 veterans commit suicide every day? That's
every
outrageous.
Single day. That's correct. 22 veterans commit suicide. Every 65 minutes, a veteran takes their life.
That's just...
And Natalie, you know, that's 22 a day. That equals 8,030 veterans a year that commit suicide.
And
you know,
I bet there's even more than that.
Are more than three times more likely to commit suicide than non-veterans.
And why is that? Is that because of the isolation and the PTSD is so strong, or why is that? Do they feel too alone, or what do you think?
I think they feel isolated. I can't speak from experience because I don't have PTSD myself, but other, you know, a lot of veterans do, and you know, they feel you know, and it starts at home. You know, they feel estranged from their families, from their loved ones. A lot of them, like I said, are taking all these different pills and medication, and you know, these pills cause side effects, and these side effects can, you know, can be anything. You know, can be you know, a lot of people that take opiates feel constipated. You know, they may not be able to think as clearly when they're taking some of these medications,
right.
And so it affects their you know, how they interact with their family members.
That's because you hear people with back problems and other muscle problems, and before you know it, they're taking too many medicines, and you hear of deaths where people just fall asleep and die. You know, it's common because of all those medicines, and they can't, maybe they think the pain's not working, so they take more, which is, you know, they besides just overdosing, it just is a downward spiral, and there's other ways that you're going to help with doing that. This is going to cut out a lot of the red tape, right, that they deal with the Veterans Administration, and I don't want to, with the VA hospitals and the organization, I've heard it's gotten a lot better than it was years ago, but it's still a lot of red tape to go through. So this is going to be easier,
right?
Well,
I don't want to beat up the VA.
I'm not beating them up. Yeah, exactly.
You know, what we want to do is we want to provide, you know, a safety net. We're not trying to copy anything the VA is doing or any of the veterans organizations are doing. All we're trying to do is provide an alternative safety net so these veterans don't slip through the cracks.
Yeah, because they have to be, I mean, the Veterans Administration must be slammed, right? It's just overwhelming with what has to be done.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize what it takes to be designated disabled according to the military. And, you know, a lot of these veterans had to fight for, you know, months or years. In my father's case, he fought for over 20 years to get his disability.
That's
so
ridiculous.
So it's really... Yeah, it is. It's frustrating. You know, it's very difficult for these people because, you know, they're told, oh, go to the VA, go to the VA. Well, unfortunately, we have veterans that are crying out for help, and they're just told to wait. You know, we'll get you an appointment. We'll get you an appointment. Well, if you're suicidal and if you don't have an appointment that day, it's not going to do anything for you. You know, and unfortunately, we've had veterans that have asked for help, been denied, and committed suicide that very day.
Oh, my gosh, that's horrible. That should never happen.
It is terrible. And what got me motivated was it's not just the 8,030 veterans that commit suicide a year. It's the hundreds of thousands of family members that are affected every year. You know, each veteran's got a family member, you know, great 4, 6, 10, 20, 100, you know, 500 family members. They're all affected by that one suicide.
Right, and if they could get through that one day or another week or another time period, it's so unnecessary, isn't it? There's a Veterans Crisis Line. It's veteranscrisisline.net is one of the sites put up for a hotline, and one of the numbers they have is 800-273-8255, 800-273-8255. They're open 24/7. So if you are in a suicidal state or depression or just going down that rabbit hole and you don't know, you know, just so depressed, call them. They're there for you. And that's what you guys are setting up and doing, right? So you're just giving them that breath of fresh air so they know they're not alone.
Well, that's it. We want to provide them a place that they can call their own where they can feel comfortable. And, you know, they're not in a clinical environment. That's key because, you know, the VA is very clinical. And our deputy director, who's a personal friend of mine, his name is Dr. Robert Santry. You know, we talked about this at length, about creating a place that is unlike the VA. You know, it's more of like a summer camp for kids, you know, but it's for veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's got fond memories of summer camp, so...
Absolutely.
You know, we need a place
just
that they
peace.
Can relax. Exactly. A place of peace that they can relax and call their own.
I can see that maybe the Veterans Administration even sending people to you, you know, with the overflow at some point. Yeah.
Exactly. When I first came up with this mission, I really wanted to contact the Wounded Warrior Project and find out if you know, they would be interested in help funding us because basically, we're doing what they're talking about is helping these disabled veterans. You know, we want to provide them with all the necessary services, you know, that they need. And medical and psychiatric counseling services are critical for a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. That's, I wonder if the PTSD, there's so many different levels of it. I mean, I'm speaking, of course, as a layperson, but there's so many different levels, and I would imagine that when somebody, a man or woman, has been in war and they're having to shoot and kill and go through that environment and then get the PTSD, it's got to be mind-shattering. To me, it seems like one of the most difficult things for people to realize sometimes, and we all have gone through, many of us have gone through different tragedies in our life and different times where depression could set in. I mean, there's just different, so many things in life that could cause these different situations, is that time heals things. It can get better with time. And when somebody's in a suicidal position, they're thinking that there isn't any time. This is it. Their whole world shut down on them, and they need to breathe, right? Would you say that these are some of the signs that if somebody's feeling like they're going down the rabbit hole, if they're feeling like I just don't want to live, it's not important, there's too much on me,
yeah.
I mean, there's different levels.
Other people that they can receive help from. You know, it's really important for these both men and women to realize that, you know, there's people out there that care. No.
Right.
In America, I think there's only 10% are veterans, but a good 70-80% or more are pro-veterans. So there's a lot of people that do want to help. And, of course, everybody knows, you know, a family member that served in the military, brother, sister, uncle, aunt, grandfather, grandmother. You know, back in the old days, it's interesting. My grandfather, he was a World War I veteran. And
congratulations.
Or excuse me. But, yeah. And he used to tell me about back in the day, you know, they didn't call it PTSD. There's all these different names, you know, from the Civil War, from World War One, World War Two, Vietnam, and in the Gulf. You know, it slowly evolved to be called PTSD. But, you know, having grown up with my father having PTSD, you know, it's just certain things can trigger these memories, whether it's a sight, a sound, you know, and a lot of these veterans come back to the United States. They hear, a car backfire. It sounds like a gunshot to them. Immediately they,
exactly.
I guess what I'm trying to say is for civilians, people don't realize there's no magic switch that they can turn on and off. You know, they're in
a
war
zone. It's not an overnight, right.
Exactly. Their senses are jacked up 100%. You know, everything's, you know, their adrenaline's pumping, you know, and, you know, these,
that memory is etched in their brain, right? That memory is etched in there. It's etched in there. So you're, like you said, a trigger can just set it off, right? And,
yeah. What's strange is, you know, the loved ones that surround the veteran, they don't understand what these triggers are. They don't understand what they've been through. So it's hard for them to relate. And that's why veterans feel kind of isolated, because they can't tell their spouse, well, gee, you know, I feel, you know, I'm acting this way because, you know, a lot of them don't want to tell their spouses what they experienced in wartime.
No, I can imagine. veteranscrisisline.net, it has a, it doesn't say that what the questions are, but somebody can go on there and take a little quiz to know if you're suicidal. What would you say are some of the things to look for if somebody's suicidal? I mean, of course, they're saying, I don't want to live anymore, but are there any other warning signs that are pretty prevalent with the PTSD?
Well, it's hard to say because, you know, there's so many different, everything's a case-by-case basis. You know, some of these people are taking medications, and the medications make them feel a lot worse than they actually are, you know, and so that's why, you know, we stress, you know, basically to detoxify these people, because, you know, they can't think clearly when they're taking 10 or 12 different medications. Nobody can.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what seems bad to us, to the average person, you know, when they're taking all these medications, it seems like, you know, these problems are insurmountable. And so oftentimes they think suicide's the only way. And, you know, we know that that's not the case. You know, it's just a question
when they,
Go ahead.
If anybody wants to ask a question and you're listening, you can call 347. I mean, you can call 347-945-5428. Or if you're in listening and want to jump in and ask a question, you can press 1 to get into the host line. What you're doing is just amazing. Do they have to, when they're going to come to the retreat? I'm calling it a retreat because the City of Refuge Veterans Center sounds like it's going to be a place to say, give me that break. I mean, let me relax, but let me get in with loving care around me and no judgmental thing, and places where they can just talk. Do they, they'll contact you guys directly and then set it up, or is there
them? Okay. Call us, contact myself or Dr. Santry. You know, right now we are in the process of trying to find a suitable parcel of land to actually build the center. So the center's not open as we speak, but, you know, ultimately, when people come in, veterans come in, they'll be screened, they'll be diagnosed, and they'll be given some type of one of the holistic services, whether they need acupuncture, like I said before, chiropractic care, whatever. And then also we'll be giving them medical and psychiatric counseling services. That's the real key.
Yes. If they come in just for an, I'm just giving an example. Say a vet came in, but he's disabled, was in one of the wars, and went in and has all this going on, the PTSD, but say he's not getting a lot of money to live on, you know, and his retirement, even if he's working on disability, is very small. Can he still come to this program? Does he have to? I mean, I know it's a matter of getting funding, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but what would it, I'm not asking
well,
for the cost, but
gonna,
can somebody in that situation still come in?
Yes, we're going to try to use the thing called the Veterans Choice Program. So this was established to give veterans a choice to seek care in their local community as opposed to going to a VA clinic. Oftentimes, VA clinics are too far away for veterans to travel mm-hmm. to. And so our
That's
situation
right.
on Maui is we do have a VA clinic, but unfortunately, it's 7.5 hours a day, Monday through Friday.
Really?
And it's... Yes, and it's awful crowded. The receptionist sits behind a piece of bulletproof glass. I don't know why, but So, you know, the general feeling is, if they can get into the VA, great, but there's a waiting period to get in. And so we hope to be able to see veterans that day. If somebody absolutely needs to be seen, if they're suicidal, that they'll be seen that day.
Okay, that's fantastic. That's wonderful that
you're. The suicide hotline too. The suicide hotline, I believe, is located in Upper State New York, and they get over 250,000 calls per month.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so they're very, very busy.
So many different. And I understand with the hotline, you don't have to be a vet to call. If you're a relative or a friend or concerned about anyone, you can call as well. And that number, again, is 800-273-8255. They also have a text, 838-255, and it's veteranscrisisline.net. Captain Lambert, your website is, I'm looking through, for the City of Refuge Veterans Center. We want to give your website, too, and then the contact numbers. It's cityofrefugemaui.org. That's cityofrefugemaui.org. And the contact number we should give, I'll let you do that. If you want to.
Sure, it's 808-344-4604. That's 808-344-4604, and that's my direct line.
It's wonderful, and anybody can be anywhere too and contact you, so they don't just have to. I see this is really interesting. You're putting together a bike run, which is really great. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, well, both my grandfather, my father, and myself are motorcyclists, and. When my father was alive, I told him, I said, well, geez, you know, this would be a good opportunity to raise funds. And so I came up with this idea. I called it the Ride for the Refuge. And what I want to do is I want to ride from the East Coast across the United States and visit 22 cities to highlight the 22 veteran suicides that happen every day. And at these cities, we'll put on events. We'd like to raise awareness for veteran mental health issues and also to honor fallen veterans along the way and to raise funds to build the City of Refuge Maui. And so this is going to be May 29th, 2017, and we're going to leave Boston. And 34 days later, we're going to arrive in Seattle, Washington.
Wow, I'm looking at this. It's gonna come pretty fast. That's fantastic. And anybody, you don't have to be a veteran to ride, right?
You don't have to be a veteran to ride.
Wanna...
Nope. As long as you support our mission, you're welcome to join us. We do need sponsors, though. I have contacted Harley and also Victory Motorcycle to ask them to be sponsors, and I've also contacted over 250 different companies across the United States. But so far, I don't have a main sponsor yet. So if anybody out there listening, if you support veterans' causes and you like motorcycles and you want to sponsor me, feel free to give me a call.
Fantastic. So you need funding for for the funding, for the sponsors, for the whole thing, for advertising. I would imagine lodging as well, right? Could some
actually,
companies that?
Yeah, ideally, you know, we'd like to have a motor coach that follows us along, and we could stay in the motor coach, so that would handle our lodging. But you know, a motor coach is rather expensive to lease for 35 days.
But, you know, maybe a huge company, a company may be willing to, because they'll sponsor it and they get the advertising, et cetera. Maybe they'll just put it out there for you. That would be
an idea
to have them.
We're a certified 501c3 public charity, so any donations that are made are tax deductible.
Fantastic.
And our sole mission is to prevent veteran suicides before they take place. That's our number one goal.
I like that. So you have 22 veterans that you're saying that die a day, and you're writing 22 cities to honor them. That's incredible. Now, to donate to the center, or also to get involved in the motorcycle ride, to donate at all, you can go to cityofrefugemaui.org and donate right online. All the information is there.
You can go to cityofrefugemaui.org. Down on the bottom, there's a red button that says 22 cities to prevent 22 suicides. You can hit that button and donate directly, or we have a link to our GoFundMe account. And so you can donate directly on GoFundMe.
That's great. So you're getting, sponsors is going to be, okay, so basically even the vans, the lodging, the motor coach, because it could all tie in together. Some larger sponsors could really help a lot. And then everybody individually riding, I see here, let's see, you said it starts in Boston on May 29th, 2017. It's going to end in Seattle on June 25th, 2017. You know, it might be interesting. There may be some people that want to ride that literally could take off and go that distance but still need lodging, you know, with the sponsors, or maybe a way to sign up, like maybe sponsors will be willing to. This is such an amazing cause, and a lot of times the big guys have that money. Yeah.
To donate, say, discounted hotel rooms to people taking part in the ride.
I love it. So it's going to start in New York, go to Washington, D.C. I'm just going to name some
Boston,
of the legs for some people.
Start in Boston.
Oh, I'm sorry. It says Boston. My fault. I'm sorry. I'm reading down here. Sorry. So it starts in Boston, goes to New York, D.C., Norfolk, Virginia. A lot of military there, too. And it says Charlotte, North Carolina. Wow, you're going to go right down the Atlanta, Georgia, Nashville, Tennessee, Indianapolis, and that's going to be perfect. Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Minneapolis, Des Moines, Iowa. You're going to go to Topeka, Kansas, Denver, Colorado, Grand Junction, Colorado, Las Vegas, San Diego, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Eureka, and end in so you're going to go to Eugene, Portland, and end in Seattle. So someone could ride one leg, or they can ride the whole leg. They can do whatever. That's going to be great.
The whole trip is 6,138 miles, the entire trip.
Wow.
And, of course, the only reason I decided to go to Milwaukee, because I thought Harley-Davidson was going to sponsor us. So hopefully, Harley, if you're listening, we still need a sponsor.
You know, but they could literally do this so easily. The huge sponsors can do this and advertising and get it on the news media and get it out there.
Well,
it's
my hope that at every stop we're going to do radio and TV shows and you know, to inform people, you know, of this trip and to basically raise awareness. I mean, people have been talking about this number 22 suicides a day for a long time. But nobody's really doing much about it. You know, it's really important that people know that, you know, this is still a big problem. These veterans are still killing themselves. And there's no reason for it. You know?
None at all. No, none at all.
If we can send...
my dad was in the... I'm sorry.
Oh, I was saying if we can send them to Iraq and Afghanistan for tour duty, we certainly can send them to Maui for a couple of weeks of treatment and support.
Absolutely, amen. They deserve it, and it should be, and nobody should go through. I think, as humans in general, you know, we all need love, and we all go through so many people have gone through many tragedies, and it's important to realize that you're not alone, we're not alone. I think that love and peace and knowing you're going to get support makes all the difference in the world. It takes the person to the next step. My dad was in the military for 22 years, and then he passed three and a half years after retirement at 45, and he was in the Vietnam War. So being an Army brat, I can relate to a lot of, you know, I can relate to just being a military family. I think it's awesome how your grandfather, Henry George Lambert, was in the 110th Cavalry. Oh, my God.
Sure. Yeah.
He was a cavalry officer in the U.S. Army. The Aviation Signal Corps, December 23rd, 1891 to June 22nd, 1977. Oh, that's, he lived till 1977. Wow. He would be so proud of what you're doing.
Yep. Well, I made my father a promise before he died, a try. And so the first step, of course, was setting up the 501c3 nonprofit organization. We did that, and now we're in the process of trying to expand our board members from 3 to 5. We would like some positions, more positions, including a doctor's entry, to be part of our board. And now we're looking for grants and donations. So
that's what. You know, they say inch by inch, it's a cinch, right? So everybody listening, I mean, even if you donate a little bit, you know, $10 even, that sounds like, oh, I can't donate enough to make a difference. Yes, you can, because $10 by thousands of people really adds up, you know. And
It does.
It's amazing. It's like, so your dad passed in 2014. Sorry, it's...
I had a rough couple of years. I think I told you this. My mother had a fall, and my father was in the hospital all at the same time I did my knee surgery. So I had a heck of a couple of years. So things are looking up, though, you know.
Yes.
I understand what people go through, and every day is tough. You know, life throws some big hurdles in front of us, and, you know, these hurdles a lot of times seem insurmountable, but, you know, you got to keep your head down and your chin up and, work through these problems.
And realize we're not alone, and we're all, you know, it's
exactly.
Definitely one day at a time. One day at a time. And I think the biggest thing is to realize time does heal and get better. Now, what you were saying about the PTSD, that if there's something that brings it back later, and it's going to all of a sudden show up, it may not be at the level of where it is now if somebody has it. You know, and I'm speaking as a layperson. I'm not trying to say anything. I'm not giving that disclaimer. But I know, for me, for example, my brother died, and he was literally run off the road, and people got away with it, and it was put down as an accident. It wasn't an accident. I kind of threw into that. It was like, oh, it was the shock and the lack of justice and being all alone with it and the whole thing. I went into a depression, but I had to keep everything going. And in no way am I equating this to anybody, a veteran being in war and having to do that. I'm not equating it. I'm not saying, hey, I know exactly how you feel. But I'm saying as a civilian and Army brat, I'll always be, right? I know what that feels like to go down the rabbit hole in a sense. But I can tell you it gets better and better and better and better and better as far as in life. You know, when we go through these tragedies and go through things, time does heal, maybe not all of it, but some, and also with the tools that you're giving, like you give it the center and you're going to, you know, do the love and the support. Love can heal more, I mean, a lot. I don't care what anybody in the world says. When you feel that love and people love you and they care about you, that just lifts your spirit up. And, you know, so people that are thinking of suicide, there's way more to it than what I'm just saying. It's just that I think a lot of people, we want you to realize that many people go through it. We've all been in many terrible situations where you don't think you're gonna. It's too overwhelming, but later you can look at your future. And they say what you want to create eventually, it's better to visualize and then work backwards. And and you guys are putting that together. So just my heart and my it just my goes out to you with this. It's just I had to mention that because we have a lot of listeners in all different, you know, walks of life and in the business, and a lot of times people don't want to admit that they've gone through something, you know, because people want to be stoic and all this is, you know, whatever. And no, we're all human, and God is amazing, and we all are spiritual, and we're not just people walking around in clay bodies. So I do believe that the spirit and soul and the heart connection and all that connects with our minds and with everything we're doing. And you know, it's kind of like the drugs, the alcohol. We're kind of saying, okay, I'm going to turn it over and give it to them. And then that controls you, and you really want to take the willpower with yourself, right? Although drugs, certain things may be needed, you know, for certain medicines. I'm not negating that.
I
so that was my
concern. But I just noticed that people tend to mix alcohol. I said I don't have anything against alcohol myself, but when people tend to mix alcohol and prescription medication, it doesn't turn out well. You know, especially when, you know, they're depressed and, you know, they're in this self-medicating mode. One thing, you know, you did mention that I'd like to bring up is in the military, everybody's told to suck it up and to be hard.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, when they have PTSD and they have combat-related issues, it's you know, they can't keep it inside themselves. And so that's one of the reasons why it's, you know, they need outside help. You know, they can't necessarily talk to their loved ones, you know, about combat because they don't want to, maybe they don't want to, you know, what's the word I'm looking for, expose them to that type of, you know.
Right, and they may feel
violence.
Guilty when they shouldn't have felt guilty, right? They may feel guilty because
exactly,
a lot of people get killed, but that is the job, so they shouldn't feel guilty. They were doing their duty, but they may have other,
exactly.
All, you know, and all of that. Well, I think what you said on a little bit earlier about, you know, all the families and all the people affected, and any time somebody's killed, you know, I mean, and a suicide, or when I say killed, you know, with like what I went through, it affects everybody. I was talking to somebody the other day on Oahu who just lost a sister through addiction on Kauai, and they're devastated. She was only 33 years old. They're just devastated,
yeah.
And you know, so it's not an easy thing. I mean. I think sometimes people want to go to get help elsewhere too, not bring it in the family because then they feel like, oh, that's going to be another thing they're going to hold against me, you know, if people are feeling that way in their families. And then also maybe a lot of people, they don't want the husband or wife to go through it. They want them to feel happy and peaceful, right? So it's
sure.
It's really difficult.
Yeah, they just don't want to expose their family members to the you know, the tragedies that they experienced during wartime.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have all the answers. I'm not an expert in suicide. I've had my own experience with pain, depression, addiction. But, you know, one of the things that I did do is I went out and found an expert. And our deputy director, Dr. Robert Santry, he has been in the military for 34 years. So 17 years in the Army, 17 years in the Navy. He's a pretty top-notch guy, and he's helped me out quite a bit, and we're looking to help other people out.
He sounds amazing with what he's doing. I see he's an international cannabinoid research in the society, in that deputy director with psychiatrist and a chaplain. I mean, wow, that's would love to get him on here with you sometime.
He's definitely one of the most qualified people here in the islands, for sure.
Absolutely. Oh, my God, absolutely.
We're still looking for other qualified professionals. You know, if you're listening out there and you want to get involved, please feel free to give us a call. You know, one of the things that I did almost 2 years ago is I put an ad out for a company president or CEO as an advisor. And I actually got over 300 different phone calls, texts, and emails within a 1 week period when I told people about this project. Yeah, so we've got a lot of people that are quite interested in helping out, you know, and people from all over the different, you know, all over the community, from Catholic priests to, you know, pastors and all kinds of people. So it was pretty interesting to get that kind of response.
It's your vision's coming true, and it's fantastic. To what you're doing is amazing. So
yeah, thank you.
Oh,
we can't do it alone.
We
wanna... We can't do it alone.
Nope.
We definitely
nope.
need
so,
help.
Again,
so if
again,
anybody's out there listening, yeah, feel
absolutely.
Free to check us out at cityofrefugemaui.org or go to our GoFundMe page.
There's just so many ways you can help out and get involved, and I bet you somebody listening, we know somebody who's going to need this too. This is just wonderful, and I see, was it Jay Williams is another board member, and he has the medicinal herb farm that you're talking about before.
That's, yeah, Jay's
he's helping.
He's got a medicinal herb farm with over 100 different Chinese herbs and medicines, and
wow.
You know, he's been specializing in that for quite a long time, so he's really good at it.
Mm.
And Jay was actually the one of the people that inspired me to come up with this idea. You
really?
Know, when I came up with it, yeah, he was the person that really, you know, besides my father, told me, you know, this is a worthwhile thing, and so go for it. And he told me, he says, don't worry about how much it's going to cost. The money will come. He says, you know, as long as you're doing it for other people, the money will come. And,
I believe that. I totally believe it.
You know, I
did
too. I did too. And so, yeah, no, he was very important. And he also helped me when I was coming off of medication. And so, yeah, he was a great help.
That's... So give us just a quick, just because people listen, if there's a vet, listen, when you went through the medicine, what happened to you that, and then at what point did you realize, hey, I can't do this anymore, that you needed to get help?
Well, I have been a certified captain for a long time, a maritime captain, and I used to run boats and drive submarines, and I used to jump back and forth between boat and submarine, and I think that motion of jumping from one moving boat to another caused my spine to get damaged.
Ooh.
And also I was a avid golfer too, and of course golf and back issues don't jive too well.
Ooh,
and
no.
So I was told that I had degenerative disc disease and I had to have my lower back fused. And so
ooh.
I went and I had that done, and unfortunately you know, we're all faced with these decisions, so do I work or do I not work? And I was offered a job to work for the electric company 2 months after I had my surgery. And unfortunately, I chose to go to work instead of to heal myself fully. And that work
got worse.
Compounded or exacerbated my problem. And so... unfortunately, you know, the pain started spiraling out of control. And once that did, the medication started to increase. And, you know, you get on this treadmill of taking medication 24 hours a day to basically alleviate your pain. And so that's how I ended up getting into it. You know, it was strictly pain control. And I went to some of the best pain specialists in the country, and they said, well, unfortunately, you know, we can't do much. You know, you've already had your back fused. So for me, it was a treadmill for a good 10, 15 years until finally I decided I had enough. You know, this stuff was killing me. And I started to use cannabis. And cannabis became an effective method to treat pain.
Mm-hmm. And you were able to just wean off of the other medicine? And,
actually, I stopped cold turkey, which is not recommended.
Did you really? Wow.
Stuff. Yes, yeah, and went through quite a bit of physical discomfort for a good 4 to 6 weeks, or actually more than that. Took me quite a while to get it all out of my system, but, you know, so I have a unique insight into what some of these veterans are going through, taking all these different pain medications, because I used to do the same thing. I'd take easily 15, 20 pills a day or more.
Unbelievable. And the side effects even from the pills on your body and that stress. And I've known there's people that have just actually fallen asleep and didn't mean to, they died just because the mixture or was too many.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, opiates are a depressant, and they they shut down your breathing, and that's why people stop breathing. You know, here in the United States, you know, we all know the 22 number. 44 people die from opioid overdose every day, and 78
really?
People a day die from heroin overdoses. And so a lot of these
heroin's
people,
really bad, especially in the young. Yeah.
A lot of these people first start off on pain medication for, you know, an injury that they had. And then when they, you know, unfortunately they get addicted, and then when their medication gets cut, that's when they actually switch over and they start taking heroin. So it's a big problem.
No.
Luckily I've never gone down that route, but I know a lot of people have. And, you know, if anybody's out there listening that, you know, is taking medication like that, you know, try to get help, because you know, you can get better. Yeah,
and it's very addictive type of. I mean, that's very addictive. So it's not like they're going to be able to take a little bit and then just stop, right? That's something that's going to. Oh gosh, definitely. What you're doing is amazing, and your team is fabulous, because you've got. It sounds like this just sounds so meant to be, and I think I'm just looking forward to being able to put it out there to help and just see this the vision come forward. I can see it loud and clear. It's thank you for doing
that. I'm
excited. There's something.
We're slowly getting there. You know, it's it takes a lot.
Yeah, it takes a lot of hard work. And I commend you for doing it, because it takes a ton of work, which you've done already. Has been and to go the path and not quit and not just say, okay, this is going to be too overwhelming, and just get it, make it happen. There's a just on a quick side note, I know some musculoskeletal companies are working on devices that may be out in the next as early as 2 years. But of course, whenever anything's being put out, they go through the FDA and all there's a lot involved where, unfortunately, some things can't get out that should. But there are devices that actually will have an app on your phone, and it'll be in your back somehow, in your spine, and actually when the pain's in there, it'll numb it or do something. I'm not sure exactly what it's called. Something electrical, but it's not. They're not going to have to take pain meals. They'll just be able to say, oh, it hurt, and it. I don't know what it, you know, how it numbs it or what it does, but.
Years ago I actually went through a pain pump trial, and my doctor told me, he said, your pain's off the charts. It's not going to help you. But they do have those types of pumps they surgically implant into some people.
So they already have them out. I always thought there was some that just were coming out. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, now there's a new device coming out that's supposed to stimulate receptors and yes, just to increase dopamine and whatnot. I think I saw it on Facebook, some new device. But the thing that we want to stress to people is, you know, if you need help, get out there and ask for help. You know, there's a lot of different agencies, not just government agencies or state agencies, but NGOs out there that have money, that are willing to help veterans. Yeah, and so it's really important. You know, I feel kind of blessed because I'm in Hawaii, and Hawaii is a very pro-veteran state, I would think. We have a lot of military here. 112,000 veterans. We have 47,000.
Oahu, we have a lot on Oahu, too. Wow, that's great. A lot of retired veterans.
47,000 active duty military here in the state of Hawaii.
Wow.
Which is quite a number. Here on Maui, we only have 12,000 veterans in Maui County, which, of course, includes Maui, Lanai, and Molokai, and Koho'olawe. 12,000 here in Maui County, but a lot of military here, and very, very supportive.
You know, the military, you serve the country, now you've got to let everyone serve you. It's your turn, right? If you're having problems, it's your turn to get help.
Sure.
Definitely. Absolutely.
One thing I'd like
wonderful.
To say is we hope to open up services for non-veterans also that are experiencing drug and alcohol problems. So this addiction center
that
we're going to be open not just to the military and veterans, but also to non-military people, because we do have a problem, you know, here in the United States, so we just don't have enough treatment centers. And so we hope to open this one up to the public.
Fantastic. That's it. And the website again is it's cityofrefugemaui.org.
That's correct.
City. Yep. And then everybody on there knows they can contact us at radio@realityuniversal or realityuniversal.com, and we'll direct you as well. But and the I'm so thrilled to do this with you today, and it's
yes. And if anybody out there has any questions or has any comments and wants to write me directly, they can reach me at keith@cityofrefugemaui.org. That's keith@cityofrefugemaui.org.
And put
if
that
anybody
date on
wants
your
to write directly.
Yeah,
yep,
May 29th, right? To do that, people. Wow, that's going to be a
Memorial
big one.
Day.
And what do you call it? It's going to Ride for the Refuge is what it's called. It's going to be called, right? Ride for the Refuge.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, we are already at the end of the show. Let's see, the hour flies by. You didn't think it would go by that
sure,
fast,
sure
did you?
Sure did.
I bet.
Yep.
No, it always does. It's like, and I am so impressed and thrilled, and we're going to try to help any way we can, too. And if you want to say any last parting information at all.
Well, I'd just like to thank everybody for listening. I hope we didn't bore you too much, but if you would, reach out and help a vet today. That's all I got to say. You know, take care of our veterans.
Absolutely.
Because they've taken care of you.
Some people don't even realize how free it is here that we, you know, for because of the veterans, because of all of everybody. It's amazing. So
yeah, a friend of mine
thank you.
Oh, I was going to say, a friend of mine has a quote on the back of his car. It says, if you can read this sign, thank a teacher. If it's in English, thank a veteran.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Absolutely. So it's So thank you. Well, and I'd love to have you back again too. And we're going to get this out there as much as we can, and try to do our part as well. And
well, thank you very much for having me. Thanks for supporting our cause. We really appreciate it.
And I can see that. I can see it already. I can visualize it. So thank you for coming on. We hope to talk to you really soon. And to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Great.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to realtyuniversal.com. Make it a great day.